I really do feel like we could talk about it all day.
For sure.
Oh, do you remember? Sorry.
Is that it?
For sure. Done.
Goodbye. So next time. 'Everything will make sense someday. So for now, laugh at your mistakes, smile through the tears, and keep reminding yourself that everything really does happen for a reason, and you are exactly where you are meant to be. Welcome to the Lash Studio. I'm Greta.
And I'm Sophie.
So today we are going to be covering the pros and cons in the lash business. And I really do feel like we could talk about it all day.
Mm-hmm.
So during my career, I have been mobile. That's actually how I started. And then I worked from home. Then I owned two salons, and currently I'm still running one at the moment, mm-hmm, and doing lashes.
Yeah, I've also worked from home. That's how I started. And I've had two salons myself too.
So between us, we have...
I think we've just touched on 20 years between us.
That's a lot, isn't it?
Of lashing.
That's quite a lot of experience, I would say.
Yes.
And grey hairs.
Not for me yet.
Well, I'm sure I've got a few
No,
more.
Actually, I did find some in lockdown. So today, we're going to split the episode into three parts. There will be timestamps in the show description so that you can listen to the ones that are relevant to you.
So the three sections are lash artists working from home or mobile. Then we have lash artists working within a salon, so either employed or self-employed, and we will cover both. And lash artists opening their own premises or a salon.
Yeah, there's going to be some crossover in each, and you may want to listen to all of these three so that you're informed for all the different career options and paths. But let's get into it.
So let's start. Okay, so you have just finished a lash course, mm-hmm, and congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
And now you're thinking, okay, so what is the best path for me?
Yeah.
I mean, you can absolutely boss it and go and open your own salon immediately, but...
If you had a lot of money, you could.
And experience. So I don't think money is the main thing either, because you don't even know how to run it, probably.
No.
So you would need some experience. So let's start with how I started then.
Yeah, sure.
I started being mobile first. And why I did that, why did I pick mobile? Firstly, I didn't go in the salon. I wanted to work for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And home, I had a little boy at home, and also my partner worked at home. So it was a bit like crowded.
Everyone
there.
Everyone was there.
Yes, so I couldn't. Plus, we were in a 2-bedroom, 3-bedroom flat,
yeah,
which is a bit, small. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go out to the people and to the people. I'm going to go out to the people. I'm going to go out and expand my client base that way.
Yeah.
And I think it was Facebook mostly where I was on and where I got all the clients. And
Facebook was the best back in the day. Sorry, but...
Facebook was it.
If I had an appointment free, say, Saturday morning, mm-hmm, and I advertised on the Friday night, and if I sponsored it, I was guaranteed to get literally like 5 people being like, I want that appointment.
Mine was buzzing. I couldn't even keep up with the messages. And I remember going, actually, when I was mobile, to someone's house, and I remember they said something about Instagram, and I was like, mm-hmm, what's Instagram? Literally.
Huh?
That's how old I am. What's Instagram? What are you doing there? So, travel to people's houses, etc. So why, I would say, the pros and cons about being mobile then. One of the biggest cons is the traveling and the time that you waste sitting in traffic. You have to charge for it, but then the prices might go really high because of the fuel as well. I'm not even kidding. Mm-hmm. Like,
especially now. Imagine now.
I'm sorry, I thought the nozzle was broke one day because it just wouldn't click out. And I was like, is it going to overpour or is it still going? Oh yeah, sorry, because the price is what it is. So you do have to charge accordingly. So it could be that your price is going to go so high because of literally the time. So you can cover traveling like certain postcodes, mm-hmm, but then that will limit you because you are only in certain areas. So if you want to expand your client base, you should say yes to everybody. So you are like all over the place, which is going to waste so much time. you have to be so organized. If you leave something at home, mm-hmm. a tweezer or glue or something, you're screwed. That's it.
Those posts I see all the time that people are doing it mobile and they're like, oh my God, I left my tape. And they've got princess plasters. fair play for finding something that works and improvising.
Improvising, I wanted to say, yes. Also, the thing that made me laugh, princess plasters. Mm. Maybe we should. Maybe we should try it for photo purposes.
Some cute tape. As well.
Could. I think that one of the really, really big ones is you don't know who's going to open the door.
Yeah, and who's going to be there as well? Yeah. Okay, so you've got the client that you knew mm-hmm. that you were turning up to, mm-hmm. but who else is there? Oh, pets, kids,
somebody with a knife.
Somebody with a knife. Just buttering their toast. You never know with me around and my true crime.
But I was thinking about yesterday, and actually it goes the other way around as well. So I was thinking back to my days, like when I was mobile, which is a long time ago. There were situations where husbands or boyfriends were there when I turned up because mm-hmm. they didn't know.
Yeah, who was coming.
Who was coming.
Who have they given their address to.
Exactly. So these things. So then let's say the house, like you're going to go. You don't know if it's cold, hot, or whatever is happening in there. Some people didn't have a chair. I'm not kidding. So there was points where I would go in then and scan the room and go, have you got a chair? And then I started asking, mm-hmm. have you got a chair? Because I would do it like sitting on the edge of couch or something, which is, you know, not very comfortable.
Great for your back.
Absolutely. Fantastic. That's why I'm walking.
Why have you got a hump back and a slip disc?
It's old days. So the conditions though, I would say I didn't have like everybody's like, oh, check your hygrometer. I'm a bit like, okay, yes, but don't overthink it because it worked for me. Like I just turned up with my glue that was like 5 seconds drying and lashes stayed on. So
I think there is something to be said for adapting to your glue as well. So sometimes you've got to work with it and you might need to just let it dry before you might need to hold it that little bit longer.
Yes.
So it's not just finding a glue that works for you, it's you adapting in certain situations as well.
So it's dragging all the stuff around. So yeah. You have a massage table, you have lights, you have this and that, and you have all your stuff. I mean,
head torch.
I moved from a head torch to actually stood up proper lights. So set up for me, like when I turned up.
And the time of that as well.
Minutes. You have to time everything.
And then extension cord. Can I reach a plug? Am I close enough to this stuff?
Everything.
Am I in the way of your family? There is a lot of stuff to consider when mobile. My mentor, when I had just done my course, said to me, she was like, if you can avoid mobile, then avoid it at all costs. In her opinion, and I feel very much the same. I feel like I would have wasted my time personally. But a lot of people like mobile, don't they, client-wise?
They like travelling. They like being busy. It's the buzz, like you in traffic. Am I going to make it? Am I going to not? Oh my gosh. But I have all sorts of stories about when I was dragging my stuff around and it was, I remember raining one day and I was running to my next appointment and fell and put my foot through my massage table and that was that. And I had clients booked in obviously after that, which is great. There's one story actually mm-hmm. I remembered yesterday. Memories. I turned up, that's a funny one. I turned up and this girl and her mum opened the door for me and I'm setting up everything and I said, and she stood there with strip lashes on and I said, you know, you have to take those off. And she went, why? And I said, because I can't, so I'm all set up. And she's like, why? I said, because I can't do them for you if you're wearing them. And she went, do what? And I said, your lashes. She went, oh my God, I thought you were a midwife. And I'm like,
what?
Yeah. She thought you were. I was a midwife. So she double booked. So I'm there then, packing all my stuff back up, like a weirdo, like walking out. And the midwife stood there knocking on the door. I was like, hi, see you later. Because obviously I wasn't needed at that point because midwife appointment is a bit more important.
Oh no, I would have been like, lay down in this bed. I'll see to your eyes and she can see to your
other bits. Yeah. And pieces, two in one. But yeah, so then there was once when I turned up and then the boyfriend sat like the whole appointment next to me, asking me loads of questions, literally just checking over my shoulder.
Oh my gosh, yes, I remember you saying about this.
Like everything that I was doing, he was like, what are you doing now? What are you doing that for? Like, what is this? What is that? And I'm like, oh my God, this is like, like 2 hours in the beginning as well.
Intense.
So the cons, I would say, is then you have to be super, you know, you have to be super, super organized. You're going to waste time. Your prices are probably going to be higher. You don't know who's your client going to be. One of my clients moved once, didn't tell me, and I turned up, which is great.
I was going to say, a lot of people, I hear a lot of that as well. So people get into the house and then be like, oh, I'm just 5 minutes away. 5 minutes away from your own house.
Exactly.
Safety. So
safety is a big one.
I think you really do need some kind of, like, if it's your partner, your friend, your mum, dad, whoever, some kind of like almost like find my friends on your phone or buddy
bring your
system
friends.
Or yeah, something that's going to keep you safe. And for turning up at people's houses, booking fees are a must. Your policies have got to be.
I didn't take
tight.
Any booking fees when I didn't think it was a thing.
Probably not.
That's when she thought it was a midwife and I just packed my things up and walked out. And I was like, okay, that's a waste of everything. But yeah, I think expanding your client base is a great pro because of the fact that people these days, they just want to be at home and, you know.
Okay. So working from home then?
Working from home. So we both, have you done working from home?
Yeah.
You done? So we both done that.
I just said it earlier, Greta, in the introduction. Yes, I did work from home. I enjoyed working from home for the most part. To get straight into a con, which I know is a bit miserable, although I was at home in my own space, I felt very lonely. I didn't enjoy it personally, even though there was people coming in and out all of the time. It felt quite isolating. I didn't enjoy being inside all day. I got like cabin fever. So my advice is if you were doing that, to have little breaks where you can go outside or go and do something different.
So because I had I went from mobile to working from home. So for me, that was like a break in a way that I didn't have to travel around and waste my time. So I loved it. But what I found was because obviously I was doing it then in the flat where we were living and it was, a two bedroom. And then my partner was doing his job and then it was me and then it was our, I don't know, Daniel was
You're making it sound like the stock exchange. It's like
literally it was just mental, but it worked. I mean there were moments where, you know, I told you this, I had to move. I was doing it on the kitchen side and Daniel needed his dinner and then I was like, let me move the massage table one side, get the chicken nuggets out, and then I'll be right back with you.
But we've spoken
about
it. But
it worked.
This. If you do good enough lashes,
nobody cares.
People have their lashes done anyway. You've seen those pictures of them. So
on a holiday.
In your kitchen, on holiday, everywhere, literally on the plane.
Absolutely. So yeah, I think it did work for me in the beginning, but it was the same. So then we moved house to a bigger place. And so I had my own room. But I felt like you said, even like you had lots of people coming to your house, it's the boundaries as well. Mm. It's so hard because people just think they can do whatever they want.
Gosh.
Because and come and go whenever they want. Yeah. They don't leave sometimes. And I'm like, it's Sunday evening, 8 o'clock, go. And she's like, then this has happened. And I'm like, no.
I
Get out.
Someone turn up at the door and it wasn't their appointment time. And I was like, oh, you're a day early. And she was like, well, I'm here now. I'm like, huh? I'm like, we're just about to go out with the dogs. Like, I'm spending time with my partner. And I obviously didn't say that. I should have. But she was like, well, I'm here. And I'm like, I guess you are. Come upstairs and we'll do
that. That's awful, isn't it? Putting you like in a bit of a position there.
Yeah, it is. Housekeeping. Things like that. I saw a post the other day and it was like, can you believe that one of my clients pooed in my toilet? And it's like, yes, I absolutely can, because they're a human. So if you don't want people to poo in your toilet, then don't work from home.
Put a sign up.
Hold it in, Mary.
You can do it at your own house.
So poor love's got IBS and she's lactose intolerant and she's had milk.
You put it on you when you're looking for clients. No, lactose intolerant. Yeah, people.
I just think it's you. If you're at home, then that's their space as well. You've brought them into a professional
you're allowed
space
them to come. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah. They need somewhere to go to the toilet.
I had moments when somebody would turn up and literally just lay. I was half an hour early, which is really annoying because you know. lash artist should know yourself is like, we don't take breaks. We are back to back like idiots. Just, you know, why not? And I was like, okay, I have half an hour quick. Let's have some lunch. And she turns up. She's like, I'm here, waving, right? I was like, great. So she comes in, lays on my massage table. I'm ready. And I'm like,
but I'm not
putting me under pressure. Do you know what I mean? It's awful because in the salon, I'm sorry, but people don't do stuff like this. I feel like at your home, they feel a bit like...
It's lovely because they feel comfortable, but it's also too comfortable. Get the cons of them being too comfortable. Yes,
exactly.
Also from a health and safety point of view as well is I would look at maybe like a Ring doorbell so that you know who's at your door, because it's a, it sounds awful. It's very pessimistic of being like, it's a good opportunity for people if you're... address is advertised that people might turn up. So just to keep yourself safe. And also one thing that I did see is someone that works round us that does brows. She doesn't give out her address until you have booked an appointment. So it's not advertised.
Okay, yeah,
it's, you've booked in. I know that that's, you could still do it. You could still find out someone's address, but it's just that little bit of safety. I think it was for her. I think she had kids, so she decided that that's how she wanted to do it.
If you think about it, though, you are letting people come to your house. Like, you have kids, like you say, we have all the stuff there. And these days, like, you just don't know. So I think taking extra steps for your own safety, for your families.
And just came to have a look around your house. Like, they've paid 50 quid to look around your house and they've gone, that's nice, that's nice, and that's nice.
Absolutely.
I'm going to come, I'm going to tell my whoever, and this is where we're going to break into. I don't mean this to be scary. I just mean it in like, you really need to look after yourself. And that also includes your insurance as well. Who are you looking, who are you letting into your house? Does your mortgage provider even allow that? Mm-hmm. Have you seen the council as well about them making sure that you're okay to work from home?
Yeah.
Someone trips up on the way, on your drive up
to
you.
You have to be covered.
Are you, you've got, you need your liability insurance. Very boring, but...
That's the thing people don't think, I don't think, that, oh, I'm going to just work from home, do a little bit this, a little bit of that. But actually, if something does happen...
Very serious, and you could end up in a lot of trouble and a lot of debt.
But also as well, I think positive bit, a little bit, is that you, as far as I'm aware, you can... cover some of the costs, can't you? Like electricity.
I think so, yeah.
But obviously, if you do want to work from home, just look into that before. Just do your homework and do your research before you open your home salon or home room or home kitchen or wherever you want to, wherever you want to do it from.
I would say sometimes as well, clients believe, not all clients, some clients will believe that it should be cheaper because they're at home.
Do you know, I just wanted to say that.
In each other's heads.
That people think... I feel sometimes like they didn't take you as professional as you would be in a salon. And would barter like with, is it barter, isn't it? With prices. And I'm like, why? What's the difference if I'm, you know, you haven't got the bills to pay, you haven't got the overheads and everything goes into your pocket, which at home working, I mean, from home, it kind of does definitely more than if you had overheads, but you're still giving them the service and you're still giving them nice lashes. So I'm not sure why... There is even...
Yeah, so if I open a salon then, are you happy to pay 20 quid more?
Absolutely not.
So...
I know, but they don't think like this, do they? So, you're working from home, and then if you get lonely, like you did, I just got lazy, and I was a bit like strolling downstairs in my pyjamas sometimes.
Oh, I did used to think that.
Can't be bothered. Can't be bothered to get ready even sometimes. Yeah. Just, and I don't like to be like this either. So then your next kind of... step is, isn't it, like, okay, I would actually like people around me then. Or even, you know, one of the good points is, if you go on a holiday, oh my gosh, you remember the guilt, Jesus, the clients put me under so much pressure. You're going on holiday again. I'm like, well, I do deserve it sometimes. Who even does those clients? Nobody, because there's usually, it's just you. So also, when I broke my wrist, and I was working on my own, 3 weeks before Christmas, and I was fully booked, and I was 6 weeks out.
How many times did you attempt to do lashes with a broken wrist?
Once, it didn't work. And I was like, no. Scratching the forehead with my casting. Literally. Like,
just it, exfoliation
it just,
for
I mean,
you.
It was nice and pink and like neon pink with glitter, but it's just...
Shocking.
You know, shocking. But it's just shocking pink. But it just wouldn't work. So who So when you start thinking that, okay, so who is going to take over your clients? Who's going to help you out? So then if you would work in a salon, mm-hmm. you would have other people there, obviously, yeah. even if you're self-employed,
yeah.
who could help you out?
Yeah. Yeah. Lash artist working in a salon. I would start with the question, why do you want to go to a salon? What is it that's getting you there? And what do you want long term? So are you going to gain more clients? Are you going just because you're lonely and you're happy to pay those that extra bit of money? Have you moved to a different house or so where there's not an area for you to do them anymore? So that maybe that's your only option. And what do you want long term from it? Are you thinking, I want to work here for a year, build up my client base and leave? Which is absolutely fine.
Mm-hmm.
If you're self-employed, if you're employed, you need to think about your contract and what's involved in that and what belongs to you and what doesn't.
So if you're employed lash artist going to work in a salon, obviously everything is done for you. So everything is provided for you. You are literally just going there mm-hmm. and you do what you need to do. And somebody else is obviously dictating your hours, your yeah. days you're working and what you wear, how you even behave or yeah. what they expect from you, how your lash sets should be.
How your lashes are, because it might be...
And the standard of your work.
For example, they're like, I only want you to do these types of lashes, these lengths. That's all I'm providing to you. I will not buy 20 millimetres. So you're restricted there as well.
You are restricted. And obviously the products... You are using what they mm-hmm. provide for you. Sometimes it can happen that maybe you don't like the lashes because some people don't like yeah. certain products or don't, you can't, you
yeah,
know.
Well, this is the glue we
use. The glue is not working. I do think, obviously, it's when I had the salon and you obviously had your salon mm-hmm. and you have your employees.
Yeah.
It's the communication. 100%. I can't even stress how many problems could have been avoided and situations when people actually come to you and tell you, Greta, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. Don't go to Martha, who's your, I don't know, neighbor lasher. What is she going to do about it?
Yeah.
Come to me, like who can actually sort it out and fix it. So if you are working for somebody, just talk because mm-hmm. most problems are sortable.
Yeah, but if you feel like you're unable to talk to that salon owner, then maybe it's not the place
for
you.
It's not the place for you, exactly.
Yeah.
So you are there to do lashes. I do think if you're employed, there are level, like, where it's a bit of a cap, isn't it? Like, until where you can go. So mm-hmm. you can't
I don't know, because
really go any further.
Then go into different roles where they go to be trainers for the company. It depends
on
the size of the business, I think.
And also the owner of
the
business.
And the owner, and what their plans are for the business. Yeah. If they've actually got a career path for you, if you go in just being like, I want to do lashes forever, then that's lashes forever and that's fine, that's great. But there might be other things for you. You might then be in control of stock, so you get paid a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
There's all sorts of different avenues that can be taken, I think, within a salon. Or they might open another and be like, we want you to be the manager. Or there's lots of different things to be employed. And just to have some more pros of being employed, it's obviously the stability, isn't it? So you're getting paid.
The security of it. Yeah, definitely.
And you should maybe look, again, if you are employed but you're wanting to make more money, talk to your employer about bonus schemes. If I get X amount of people in, if I upsell this, mm-hmm. talk about commissions, stuff like that. If you're feeling like you don't want to get the same, you want a bit more from that, then let's look at different avenues, like communication, key.
100%. So about clients, I think you've had that. I've had that happening.
I don't even want to talk about it because that time of my life, my goodness, I get so fed up with just me. Can I be completely honest, actually?
How do you know what I'm going to say?
I just know exactly what I'm going to say. People taking clients.
When I didn't want to say that.
When they're employed, your contract states that you can't, at least mine did.
Mine was like, do whatever you want.
A client...
I haven't got time for this.
A client absolutely has the choice to go wherever they want to go. But you approaching that client that has been brought to you purely from the salon, from my money spending on Facebook ads, from me training you, from I'm not even going to go into it. You can tell how stressed I am about this. It does my head in and I really try and bottom this.
So what I wanted to say was... nothing about that. No, what I wanted to say was, if you work for a salon. Mm-hmm. The clients belong to the salon.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Like you said, if somebody wants to leave when you are leaving, yeah. that's we can't do anything about that. But if you are leaving, which let's be honest, in our industry, the turnover of people is quite
it's a
like,
fair amount.
Yes. And it's just how it is. But just respect the fact that if your employer was a good employer who did train you and help you and put all the time and money into you, when you do leave, do it in the right way.
Yeah.
There is a right way. There is a respectful way. There is to sit down with me. Let's talk it. This is my plan. This is what I want to do. But you know what's happened a lot with my salon is it gets to the point where people don't want confrontation. They don't want to actually, they don't want to talk.
Yeah.
So when I'm like, come and talk to me. But they let it go that far that there isn't no coming back anymore. So mm-hmm. I can offer whatever, it's a no from them because they just don't want to stay there anymore for whatever reasons. Don't let it go that get to that far if you want to stay. Like, come and talk to me before. Like I said, like, things are sortable. Just communicate and talk about it.
Yeah. Something else while we're talking about employed is intellectual property.
Like so photos.
Photos, mm-hmm. videos. That's something else to bear in mind, that while you're employed by your employer, your salon, the photos that you're taking don't belong to you. They belong to the salon because they've paid you to do that set. Yes. They've already paid you for it. That's
theirs.
That's theirs. Mm-hmm. So if you want to start your own salon, you want to leave, you want to work from home, just bear in mind that those specific photos don't belong to you. You might be able to have a conversation with your employer and be like, this is what I'm planning to do. That's what happened to one of my girls, and she still took the mic, unfortunately. But it is what it is.
But you pick your battles. So now I'm gonna say, like, you're not, over a few photos, you're not going to get a solicitor involved.
No.
And people know that. And that's the bit of a issue that, let's be honest, we talk about contracts and stuff. But actually, honestly, Sophie, would you go after somebody? Depends.
Depends.
I did once. But it was bad, that's why.
I would rephrase go after someone as well, because that makes you sound like a pit bull.
Yeah, like I am.
No, it's not going after someone. It's just...
It's protecting...
What's yours and your business? Like, you've taken the risk to open a salon. You don't sleep because of the salon.
But you are going after somebody then, actually.
Yeah, it just doesn't sound very nice, does it?
But it's just the truth.
It is, yeah... Yeah, that's you're going back to get what's yours, I suppose.
Exactly. Right, let's move on to, so you're in the salon, you still want to work in the salon, but employed doesn't really work for you.
And that's fine.
Absolutely. So you're like, I want to work for myself, mm-hmm. but in someone's business.
Yeah.
So you're being self-employed / artist. So what's the pros and cons of that?
I would say, first of all, go in understanding your rights. So self-employed is quite black and white. So have a look on the HMRC sort of Gov.UK website. Although you're running your own business within someone's salon, you can still be respectful of one another.
So I would say one of the things is you are in charge of your own diary.
Yeah.
You are in charge of your own clients.
Social media.
Marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So don't expect... You are there to market yourself.
Yeah.
Don't expect the salon's name, reputation... Do the marketing for you and you just sit back and wait for the phone to ring and you grab it and take the client. So you need to know that you are there as your own business mm-hmm. in someone else's business.
But then also things like refunds, all your messages, your own insurance, your own products, everything like that as well, you also need to cover. But you do have the flexibility of being like, well, if I don't want to work today, I don't have to work today.
Yes. Which some people like.
There's lots of pros to it as mm-hmm. well. I would say still get a service agreement from your salon. They Definitely. Should still provide you with something, because you need to protect you and your business. So if they said to you, you need to leave tomorrow and you've got nowhere to do your clients, you need to have something in place. And like I said, I believe it is called a service agreement.
It's I think
like
it
some
is, yes.
kind of contract mm-hmm. where they'll go, okay, for 6 months, you will pay me, I don't know, £200 a week for this station within my salon. And we'll provide your clients with a communal coffee area, mm-hmm. for example. You get to wear what you want, do what you want. Come and go when you want. It really is down to you. I even think that, say, for example, you have the right that if you didn't want to work one day and you went, oh, Sally, my friend does lashes, she's going to come in and do my clients, you have the right to send someone else in your place.
Find that so bizarre.
I'm sure you have to check it, but I'm sure that you can do that as well.
But I think also the good thing is as well, like when you said, if somebody says to you, you have to leave tomorrow, there's a point in there where it says like you need to give notice. Yep. So your clients are covered. Yep. I know what you're doing. If I'm the owner of the salon, obviously, and so on. And obviously you're using your own products. You're buying your own products. Your business is inside someone else's business. And I think as well, you have to respect that.
Yeah.
Like, respect the fact that somebody else has obviously worked very hard for it. They have a reputation. They have their name.
Yeah.
Don't do silly stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Don't behave in a bad way. Yeah, so look the part, be polite, helpful, and so on.
I think with respect as well comes when, say if you wanted to go to this salon and all you wanted to do was work there for a year, build up your client base and leave and open a salon across the road.
I know what you're going to say.
You have the right to do that.
Absolutely.
100%. If you're comfortable in doing so, me as a salon owner, if someone said to me, I want to work here for a year and then I want to set up a salon, that gives me two options. One is to go, oh, fair enough. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be involved in that, but I wish you all the best and success. Or there's another part of me that goes, oh, fantastic. Thank you so much for being honest with me. I would love to have you here, even if it's just a year, so we can get to know each other. It builds up my client reputation, yeah, because obviously you want a really good reputation because you want to build up your clients and open your own salon, even if it's across the road, fine.
It's a mutual respect, isn't it? So you are kind of, you're going to go somewhere and tell... Paths can change.
Oh, yeah.
Your life can change. Everything can change in, I don't know, a day, week, mm-hmm. month. You can go in and go, okay, I want to work here forever.
Yeah.
Doesn't usually happen. But let's say you do. That's your aim. That's what you want to do. Things can happen in your life you're not even aware of.
Yeah.
And you're going to go, okay, this was my plan, but now I want to actually open my own salon somewhere else and da da da. Talk.
Yeah.
Say it. When that comes to your head, on that, if you have mutual respect and you're friendly, go and talk about it.
Yeah, because I would sit there again as a salon owner. One, I'd be like, cool. I've had people, it's happened to me before.
Absolutely.
Where someone's come up to me and they've said, this is what I'm planning to do. And I'm like, yeah, cool.
It's when it's done behind your back, when it's done in a sneaky way, when it's done, and it's happened so many times. It's happened to you, it's happened to me. And it's just a normal kind of thing in this industry. Yeah. Why? Like, just get some balls and just come and say it to me.
Yeah.
Simple.
You've got the right sort of person, because you can imagine if there are people out there that would be like...
Is it grow some balls?
Yeah.
Get some balls. Yeah.
No, either. If you had the sort of salon owner where you weren't enjoying it and that's why you decided to leave and do your own salon and you knew that they were going to react in a very, very bad way... then you'd understand why people keep it hush-hush. I know that it's different for everyone, but in general, it's just a mutual respect.
Going in different ways in a friendly way is so refreshing and so nice. You can actually walk on, you go to see them in Tesco or whatever, and you go, you're right, and actually ask how they are, not putting your eyes down and... go a different way, different aisle quickly, because, oh my God, Christine is there who, I don't know, took half of your clients.
Yeah.
Seriously. I think till this day now, I can honestly put my hands up and say, I haven't got anyone that I can't go straight, look in there and go, you're right. No one.
I think I could now. I think at the time, maybe I would have handled a few things differently.
Of course, yes.
Because I was quite emotional. My lash bar was my baby. However, I do think there was a few things that I have forgiven and let go. So now I would see someone and I'd be like, oh, I wish you all the best. Yeah. I hope everything's cool with you.
I think it's a nice place to be, actually.
Yeah, and that's more of a reflection, I think, of me and where my headspace was at the time, running a salon versus now, where I can reflect and go, that was a different version of me back then.
Yeah.
And it wasn't personally my best. Now I'm where I want to be. So I'm not like, I'm admitting fault in some decisions I've made, but equally, you know that you did me dirty too.
Yeah, I can relate to that. But I think it comes with age, doesn't it? And experience and growing up and actually having time to think about things. Right, so we covered a little bit of talking about salon owners.
Yeah, we can't help it, can we? I think it's just in our brain that we're like, this is who we are.
So you want to open a salon?
Yeah, so get prepared. There was a post.
It's going to be all fun and games.
There was a post recently on one of the Lash forums that was like, I'm thinking about opening a lash salon. Tell me everything.
Everybody's like, don't do it.
Honestly, there was about 100 comments on it, I think, and it majority were like, you are not prepared. They can't explain to you what it's like because it sounds so menial of being like, you have to get the toilet roll. You have to do every single part of that business. You think that you feel that way when you're self-employed working in a salon or you're doing it from home, amplifies by million of how much responsibility you have. My advice, delegate. Do a business plan where you know that you're only going to be lashing a certain amount of days and that you have an accountant from the beginning. You have a HR consultant if you're going to employ people. You have your contracts in place. Do not go in like I did where I'm like, do, I'm really good at lashes. I'm going to work 7 till 10 every day and then I'm going to come home and then I'm going to have a breakdown.
Did you used to have a voice like this then? Before?
Yeah, that was the old me. And I was so naive.
I think naive is just sums up when I started. I thought, oh my gosh, we're all going to be friends forever.
Best of friends.
We everybody's weddings and we're all going to like, you know, da da da. First year, almost went to court with somebody. And I was traumatized. No, I was traumatized. I thought, how there's people like this around even? Yeah. And then you just go through all those little hurdles, like we say, and you toughen up. And then would you still do it now?
Would I do it now? Yeah, I'm actually leaving next
week. Here's my resignation.
I've been honest with you. I've got mutual respect.
Talk to me and talk to me before.
Would I do it now? Could I do it now? Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
Would I do it now?
No.
Hell.
Did you want to swear?
I want to swear. Hell no. Sorry. There are people out there that are suited to this. I'm not. I don't enjoy that side of things. I enjoy marketing and social media and taking pretty pictures and doing a podcast. Yeah, just following Greta around, be like, what do you want? I definitely could do it. I would have a lot more, I would be a lot more strategic about it.
You would do it differently.
I would nip things in the bud. If I felt that something wasn't working for me, I was so scared of not being liked and being rude that I'd be like, yeah, your boyfriend can sit there all day. That's not weird.
Yes. No, do you know what? One of the mistakes I did was, you know, when you just carry dead weight, literally, and that person is not good and you know, but you're like, you have this feeling, oh, I can't fire them because I'm talking employed now. I can't fire them because it's Christmas coming. I can't do this because I haven't got anybody to take the clients. I can't. Yes, you can, and do it, because the worst thing you can do is walking into your own salon and feeling like you're literally on eggshells because you feel uncomfortable and somebody's talking and somebody's doing this. It is awful. You have worked so hard for this. You have paid for this. You are the business, basically. And the only person who is not replaceable is you. Everybody else is, even you, Sophie. I'm
joking.
Cut that out.
Keep it in. See what she's like. When I had two salons, I worst period because I didn't feel at home in either of them. Mm. I'd go to one and I didn't see them all the time. So I didn't see that team all the time.
So you can't build kind of common connections.
Yeah, same on the other side. And then they'd be like, oh, so-and-so from the other salon's not done this and they've not told that client that. So I just get it from either side. And that's when I was like, I don't want to be here anymore and I want to go have brunch with my nan. And so I took myself away and I was like, I'm just going to sneak out. And I started doing less lashes, which was a bad thing, because I just, my mind would be in cuckoo land because I thought I deserved it because I couldn't deal with all the stress. Rather than sitting down and being like, I need to do this, this and this, I'd be like, let's redecorate.
Yeah. Oh, same. I do that. I need to go to Zara to see what they've got.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was very bad of me because, but then I knew I didn't want to be there. But I was so like, this is so, this is just realistic. This is just my opinion and what happened with me. But I didn't want to be there, but I was so embarrassed to be like, I don't want to shut down my salon.
You don't want to fail.
I don't want people talking about me and be like, oh, Lash Bar's shut down. Who gives a monkeys? I'm trying not to swear today. Who cares what people think?
Fine.
Because I ultimately am at the happiest place I've ever been. And mine was thanks to actually COVID. I know that's not a good thing to say. Mine was thanks to COVID. If I had not gone in lockdown, I would have never have thought about shutting it down. Yeah. So equally, fourth part, if you want to shut down your salon, speak to me. Anyway, right, let's get back into the good stuff.
Okay, so I think if you're thinking about owning your own salon, it's a staff, isn't it? So do you want it to be employed or self-employed? I've had both. And honestly, I prefer employed. Yeah. And that is for reasons of, it's the control thing that you can actually, it's not that I'm a dictator, but what I'm saying is, it is your name and your reputation. So therefore, I do think you should be able to tell them.
You need that element of control.
I think so. I mean, if you get decent self-employed people in who respect you enough and are great, fantastic. But does it happen often? I don't know. So mine was definitely employed, but obviously with employed staff comes all other responsibilities and problems as sick days and somebody calls in sick last minute and all that drama and stress. But I think you have to, if you are thinking about opening a salon, I do think you have to ask yourself, like, what type of person you are? Mm-hmm. Like, can you actually do it honestly? You can try and shut it down. I mean,
hello.
You know, no, but why not? Because you don't know if you haven't tried it. You don't know.
I know for a fact that I had to have done it for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's I was just that kind of person. I was like, this is what I do. Mm. This is next. And then when it wasn't working for me, I'm like, nope, not anymore.
But admit it, and it's not for me. And I'm not, you know, it's fine. And you have to be a problem solver. You have to be, like, in a way marketed, don't you? Because you have to get new clients and...
When they say that you're like the cleaner, the decorator,
you're everything. It's down to you.
Everything. It's a lot of responsibility. So if you can't deal with that in your brain,
exactly, then,
or you can't delegate, you will run yourself into the ground.
Literally, there is no work and life balance owning a salon. And one other thing, all the money that goes in the till doesn't go into our pockets. It doesn't, I promise.
No.
There's been months, or there used to be months, where I got paid less than the lash artist who I hired.
I bumped into, I bumped into a very successful salon owner, and we were talking about this stuff, and I'd still got the salon at the time. And I was like, do you ever feel like people are like walking out with more than you are? And she's like, yes. Like, you pay their wages, and you're like, Why aren't I making that much?
And they can just walk out, close the door, and go out, no problem in the world. And then it's us making less and having all the dramas. So anyways, own a salon if you want.
Yeah. Right. So
good luck.
nip things in the bud, I would say, if you want a good atmosphere, is I think one-to-ones are very important. And on reflection, that's what I would have done. I would have spoken to people. I would have been like, we're doing this every other Friday. I need you to book time out of your diary. But you can only do that with employed people. You can't ask self-employed people to take. You can ask, but you can't be like, this is what we're going to do on this day.
No, you can't dictate anything.
No. So with your employees and be like, can I help you with anything? Don't talk to Beth about that. Speak to me about it. What can we do? What would make you happier? Yeah. What do you see from your future? And that is just such a nice, I know we bang about it all the time, but communication, again, reflection for me, that's would have been so important at that time. So I would definitely say one-to-ones, appraisals, things like that.
Get your contracts in place. Decide if you want employed or self-employed. See if you can actually financially afford to have a salon.
Oh yeah, what if you're ill? Can
without
it run?
You working in it full-time?
Have you got insurance?
Yep.
So if you were off sick, if you were, that sounds awful, but if you were really, really poorly for a long period of time,
have you got
something that covers that? Does your, or like on the other side of things, your mortgage insurance, does that cover you?
Yep.
If you're really, really, just all sorts of stuff.
So I think it's not just about like, oh, I want the salon and let's see what it's going to look like inside. Let's get all pretty stuff in. It's lots and lots of other things that you have to consider
before
also, opening it.
What does your insurance cover in terms of, you need to check this. This caught me at one point.
Insurance broker or something.
Yeah, I'm selling it. You know, I'm a policy
person. Is it like
person.
A side hustle?
Yeah. If you just want to contact Escalate Consultants for your mortgage and insurance. No, what I was going to say is check your insurance, because I remember changing insurance, being like, oh, that seems like a good deal, blah, blah, blah. Still with my broker. But then it turns out I couldn't do pregnant people anymore. And can you imagine being a client being like, oh, well, why did you choose that insurance then? And it's like, oh, I just didn't know at the time. And now that's my insurance and that's that. So I can't service you anymore. Because I was not really willing to take that risk of something happening and being sued. And then that'd be it. If you have a strong work ethic, then you can have a salon. If you're not going to be able to set your boundaries straight away, I'm sorry. You will work all hours under the sun. You can then set boundaries after that, in my opinion. Mm. I think it's easy to just be like, I don't want to work those days. Okay, but you've not got your staff yet, maybe. You need to earn money. You need to cover your rent or your mortgage on that place. Finding the right staff is so, so, so hard. And it's almost like with an employed member of staff, then you don't want them, it sounds awful, but you don't want them to be like too aspirational. You want someone lovely that's going to work for you, but then that doesn't want to open three other salons. It's very hard to find those right people. But when you find them, you know who they are. Become good at delegating at the beginning so people know what is expected of them. Make staff aware of your policies. You need a staff handbook. You need all sorts of stuff. You need health and safety stuff on the walls, fire safety, your
fire extinguishers.
Try not to take things too personally, which is the easiest thing to say in the world.
Music license.
Yeah,
me.
You need to be resilient. You need to not make too many emotional decisions. If something happens, say, thank you very much. I will look into that. Take it away with you, sleep on it, talk to someone about it.
Don't react straight away.
Just be like, okay, that's fine. Let me get back to you.
Within 24 days.
The salon can be the best thing that you've ever done if done right and you're prepared for it. But
absolutely.
You need to know.
I agree.
All of this information so that you can.
And then again, if you make mistakes, it's okay.
Oh, that's fine.
You live and learn, and that's how we, you know, become better, don't we? Through experience and through making mistakes.
I didn't even say about my salons. Bear in mind my second salon, it got broken into twice and flooded. I think that was the end point for me, where I was like, God, that's trying to tell me something.
Let's open a third one.
It can be really, really good, but that is also a reality, is that?
Absolutely, it is. It's life,
isn't
it?
That can happen. Someone can break the bottom of your door, crawl in, take £35 out the till and crawl back out.
Stop.
And on that note...
I think you have lots and lots of options and lots of things to think about, like if you... which path you want to take.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, okay, that was a lot that we've gone through. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from you, and we'll be continuing this conversation, as always, about the pros and cons of the lash industry over on our Instagram, which is @lashdolls_UK. We would love to know your thoughts.
And next episode, we are going to be speaking about being social with our special guest and social media expert, Liz from Lash Life UK. If you have anything you want us to cover in this episode, please email us on thelashstudio@lashdollsuk.co.uk. See you next time at the Lash Studio.
Bye.